Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and incredible to think that it has now been a full year since the U.S.-led surge in Afghanistan was announced by President Obama. Yesterday, the President, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Defense Secretary Robert Gates stood before the nation to deliver their annual review of the efforts in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Senior leaders have been killed. It's harder for them to recruit. It's harder for them to travel. It's harder for them to train. It's harder for them to plot and launch attacks. In short, al-Qaeda is hunkered down.
The president used words like fragile and reversible to describe our military gains, not a very comforting progress report. He made it clear that we need more time, especially in dealing with Pakistan. Meanwhile, a recent poll from ABC News and The Washington Post shows 60% of Americans think the Afghanistan war is, quote, not worth fighting. NPR's national security correspondent Rachel Martin is with us to talk about the assessment and what was left unsaid and how the politics inform the military. Hi, Rachel. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. Happy to be with you.
Welcome back, I should say.
Thanks.
Since you used to work here.
A long time ago, but yes.
Has your opinion of the Afghanistan listeners? Listeners, you can post to our comments page your answer to the question, has your opinion of the Afghanistan war changed in the past year? We want to know if your opinion has changed. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show. And Rachel, what do you think are some of the things that were left unsaid or downplayed in yesterday's presentation?
Well, as you rightly point out, that's often where the most interesting bits of this are, is in what was unsaid. And the biggest issue that really wasn't addressed in here was the governance question. This is something that administration officials, defense officials, have highlighted as a key component to success in Afghanistan, getting the Afghan government to the point where they can assume control of the security situation so that U.S. and NATO forces can stand down. And in order to do that, there has to be some kind of semblance of an effective government to manage all of this. That was not addressed in the review.
Here is Secretary of State Clinton on her appeal to Pakistan to stop supporting militant groups in the border region.
We pointed out firmly that this was not a strategy that would work for them. And in fact, we had very strong objections to it because it would provide greater and greater territory for al-Qaeda and their allies to operate in. So what happened? The Pakistanis took an entirely different approach. They moved, 140,000 troops off the Indian border. They waged an ongoing conflict against their enemies, who happen also to be the allies of our enemies.
Secretary Clinton from yesterday. So Rachel Martin, NPR national security correspondent, what was she actually saying there, that Pakistan's original policy of letting the al-Qaeda and Taliban fighters have a safe haven in one quarter of Pakistan was a mistake, but now they're actually pulling troops off the Indian border to go fight those people?
Well, that's the message that the administration would kind of like to put out there, because this has been articulated, and they articulated it in the review. This is the big sticking point. No one can win this war as long as insurgents are allowed to cross over into Pakistan, regroup, and then go back over and wage attacks. So everyone understands that success in Afghanistan is contingent upon getting rid of those safe havens. So where does that leave the administration? Well, they can't just go in there with guns a-blazing and take them out. They need the Pakistani government to take control of getting rid of those safe havens. The problem has been the Pakistanis have not seen this as being in their own national interests. To them, you know, they have a much longer horizon. They are preparing for a time when the U.S. leaves, and they need to kind of keep their fingers in all kinds of pots, and they haven't been really very willing to crack down on the safe havens issue. And so Secretary Clinton there is talking about an incremental move. The Pakistani government did take 140,000 troops from the Kashmir border and move them over to the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan, and they have been pressuring insurgents from that side. There's no denying that they're making progress, but it's very incremental progress. And unless this is really going to change, there has to be a tectonic shift in how Pakistan views this issue. And they're still, according to intelligence officials I've spoken with, they're still not on board. There still needs to be more. The U.S. hasn't made the case yet that it's in their national interest to get rid of these things.
And the Pakistani government is on a tightrope. To be fair, they're worried about their own survival. They're worried about these radicals having enough popular support or just enough military firepower to get into the capital and overthrow them, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's an incredibly fragile political situation in Pakistan right now. And the government there is not incredibly stable. And so they're managing a very delicate dance right now. And so, you know, they've kept out of North Waziristan for a reason, because there was kind of a deal struck that, you know, in Swat, that they wouldn't go stir things up there because things are so tenuous. So they go into those areas at their own peril. And so, again, it's a very complicated mission to try to convince them that in their long-term interests, it may cause some short-term political instability, but in the long term, it'll ultimately be better for Pakistanis. That's a hard argument to make.
By the way, why are there these safe havens for radicals in North Waziristan in the first place? Well, we had Pakistan's United Nations Ambassador Abdullah Hussein Haroon during this year, and he said, it's America's fault. Listen.
Now, we hadn't got any of these problems until the 9/11 incident took place. Afghanistan went ballistic. And when you chased them out of Afghanistan, you didn't close the boundaries, so they all came our way. We inherited this, unfortunately. We didn't want it. Since then, they have, of course, taken certain areas. Does the Pakistan government want them? No, we don't want them.
So, Rachel Martin, how much of an honest or dishonest answer do you think that is? Clearly, the U.S. rushed into Afghanistan after 9/11 and did not seal the border to Pakistan, but he makes it sound like it was just Afghani Taliban who raced over there and created this situation. How much of a point does he make, and how much is he making an excuse?
Well, as you kind of infer, it's a mixed answer, right? I mean, he's correct insofar as Afghan Taliban fled over the border, and that was an outgrowth of the U.S. invasion in Afghanistan in 2001. But this is not solely an Afghan movement. I mean, there is, as you referenced, there's a Pakistani Taliban movement. I mean, the leaders of the Pakistani Taliban are in Quetta, in Pakistan, and in North Waziristan. This is where an indigenous Pakistani Taliban movement originated. So to say that this is purely an Afghan problem that is a little disingenuous. I mean, we all have heard the reporting that the border is a false border. I mean, when you get down to it, these are people, tribes who the identities and the affiliations are very fluid and has nothing really to do with the Durand line that separates the two countries. But at the same time, to suggest that this is all the U.S. doing and this is all the outgrowth of Afghan Taliban flight into Pakistan is not wholly correct.
So now it seems the U.S. is going to send more American troops across the border and more American drones, unmanned aerial drones, to drop bombs across the border into Pakistan. They out and said that yesterday at this briefing?
Not explicitly. I mean, I'd be very surprised if someone, in fact, Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, you know, military officials have been very careful not to suggest that U.S. boots would go on the ground across the border in Pakistan. Any suggestion that would happen would not be welcome at all by the Pakistani government.
He used this euphemism, though, kinetic activity, an increase in kinetic activity. Was that a euphemism for American troops?
No, it's not. Kinetic is a word that anyone in the Pentagon just uses for when you wage an attack, when you shoot, when you fire a gun, mm-hmm. that's considered a kinetic motion, mm-hmm. movement. And so he's talking about kinetic activity along the border. I mean, he's very careful not to suggest that it's happening on the other side. But the border region on the Afghan side of the border has been incredibly kinetic, to use the term. And that also, though, can encompass the drone strike campaign, which U.S. intelligence and military officials won't actually ever publicly acknowledge is happening. But it is, and it's been very effective. We've seen a doubling of drone strikes in the past year that have taken out some key insurgent leaders. And it's likely that we'll see an increase in coming months, especially before July 2011, which is when the president has said he wants to show enough progress that he can start drawing mm-hmm. U.S. troops out.
Well, that's got to be our political military euphemism of the day, in any case. Kinetic activity, which we now know means firing weapons and dropping bombs. The politics, briefly, before you go. Rahm Emanuel was a strong advocate for having as few troops in Afghanistan as possible. He's out of the picture. General James Jones, the National Security Advisor originally for Obama, is out of the picture. Richard Holbrooke died this week suddenly, as everybody knows. Who are the strongest voices of influence now, and what is the political dynamic within the administration likely to be between today and next July, when the president's going to have to get up and tell the country how many troops he's going to start withdrawing?
Well, it's a very interesting question, and as you know, there's a big vacuum now in some respect with those voices that you just ticked off, now not in the debate, but there are plenty of others. Secretary Robert Gates is on his way out. He has said explicitly that he wants out of this job in the coming year. We're not sure exactly when that's going to happen, but before he goes, he is still going to be a very strong advocate for the current strategy. This is something that he was very vocal about. He and Secretary Clinton were aligned in a very strong alliance during the protracted deliberations a year ago when the surge troops was decided upon, when the president decided to send in those extra 30,000. He's going to be a major player in this as we move forward. And then it remains to be seen what kind of shifts are going to take place in the White House. There are a couple of positions that still have to be filled. Tom Donilon has taken on the role of Jim Jones as the National Security Advisor. It's unclear at this point where he's going to come down on this. And so I think a lot of this is a game of wait and see. I think there is still an internal debate within the administration. Vice President Joe Biden was very much opposed to a larger counterinsurgency strategy, instead advocating for a more refined, narrow counterterrorism approach, which didn't involve the whole nation-building part of this. He is now said to be, you know, that there's no light between the vice president and the president now. He's on board. But there are still those within the administration who publicly aren't talking about it, but privately suggest that they have reservations, but those are going to be brought to the fore mm-hmm. probably closer to summer. They've given them a pass for now. The debate's going to get really heated in the next few months, though.
Well, and I guess the military situation is going to get heated in the next few months even more than it is, as they try to do as much as they can before they have to deal with it in July. The politics in public opinion, as I said, the ABC News Washington Post poll showing 60% of Americans think the war is not worth fighting. We just saw the president make that compromise, which is very popular on taxes. 60% of Democrats, 60% of Republicans, 60% of independents all supported that tax compromise. But here's the starting point with respect to the war. Only about 50% of Republicans are supportive, only about 30% of independents, and only about 25% of Democrats in this recent poll are supportive of fighting the war or think the war is worth fighting. So we will watch all those political as well as military dynamics in the war in Afghanistan in the coming months. We thank Rachel Martin, NPR's national security correspondent. Rachel, thanks so much.
You bet, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, we will finish out the week with that call in for anybody who owns a small business or a local store to hawk your Christmas gift wares. And we will play some of the highlights from our Brian Lehrer Show guest list, various of the guests that have come on the show in the last few weeks and what they are giving for the holidays. So this will be fun. Stay with us. And oh, goodness, our lines are already full. But you may find something cool to buy from one of our local merchants calling in. Stay with us.